Right, good morning. 90-333-105, 077-66-105-105. Now, the Prime Minister has put some flesh on the bones on the Brexit means Brexit mantra. The UK will be out of the European Union by the end of next March. At the Conservative Party conference yesterday, Theresa May was not for turning and had this message for those who still want to be part, or indeed who still want the UK to be part of the EU.
Even now, some politicians, democratically elected politicians, say that the referendum isn't valid, that we need to have a second vote. Others say they don't like the result, and they'll challenge any attempt to leave the European Union through the courts. But come on. The referendum result was clear. It was legitimate. It was the biggest vote for change this country has ever known. Brexit means Brexit, and we're going to make a success of it.
The Prime Minister, now, there was also no compromising when it came to the devolved institutions.
The negotiations between the United Kingdom and the European Union are the responsibility of the government and nobody else. I've already said that we will consult and work with the devolved administrations for Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland, because we want Brexit to work in the interests of the whole country. And we will do the same with business and municipal leaders across the land. But the job of negotiating our new relationship is the job of the government, because we voted in the referendum as one United Kingdom. We will negotiate. We will negotiate as one United Kingdom, and we will leave the European Union as one United Kingdom. There's no opt-out from Brexit, and I will never allow divisive nationalists to undermine the precious union between the four nations of our United Kingdom.
The Prime Minister there getting plenty of applause. Now, I want to speak to Jamie DeLargy, who's an expert on all things economic. Jamie, good morning.
Morning, Frank.
Jamie, we're saying there the UK will be out of the European Union by spring of next year, but it'll be a slow exit once the trigger happens, won't it?
Yeah, I think more accurately, it might be better to say the process of our leaving begins by the end of March next year. It'll take 2 years for that whole process to be completed, and it'll only be by March 2019 that we will be out. And that's very important, because of course we will continue to be full members of the EU until that point, and means that people will have access to the grants, the subsidies we'll continue to pay in. So it's not as if next March things change radically for people who depend, if you like, on the EU for their money, including, of course, the farmers. And it's a small point, but it's an important one. If there's agreement on both sides, that 2 years of negotiating can be extended. So we may not even be out by 2019, but I think it's likely that that would be the end date.
And a significant amount of European law will be written into British law.
Yes, it'll just be incorporated, and then they'll go through it bit by bit, taking out the bits they don't like, and keeping those bits, including a lot of employment legislation that has found favour with this administration. So in other words, that's to prevent a complete uncertainty when you don't know what laws apply. We will continue to be guided by EU legislation enshrined in British law until it's changed, and that will obviously take, you know, decades maybe to modify some of the pieces of legislation that are already in place and that are governing the way people go about their business.
And Jimmy, since you retired from being a journalist reporting everything in a neutral way, you've been on this programme and you've admitted that staying in the European Union would have been the way you would have favoured. But now that you've heard the Prime Minister, have you changed your mind?
Oh, not at all. I mean, this is going to be very bad for us in Northern Ireland, because our interests are going to be at the bottom of the list when it comes to these negotiations between London and Brussels. I mean, they're just not going to count for anything, frankly. What is going to be important to a British government is securing, first and foremost, the best advantage for the City of London. The City of London is the powerhouse that drives the UK economy. So what it wants, it will get. And if that means sacrificing some advantages for us that might conceivably on the table, well, that's so be it. And then it will also be, you know, looking after the interests again for the service economy, which is very much concentrated, again, a lot of it in the south of England. We've come so far down the pecking order that it won't be true. This is creating, you know, we have got one thing yesterday. We know when this process of exiting the UK will begin and when, pretty much certain, when it'll be complete. What we don't know, and we have no idea, is just how it's going to affect, for instance, the travel between here and the Republic. So those people who, for instance, go backwards and forwards across the border, we haven't a clue what's going to happen. We don't know what restrictions will be in place, because there will be restrictions, because one of the things they have made clear is that there will be controls in immigration. Now, the EU itself has made it very clear, look, you can't get access to the single market unless you allow free movement of people backwards and forwards across borders. And the Prime Minister has, or the Conservative administration has made it very clear that a control of immigration is a critical thing. So there's going to be, if you like, a huge showdown on that. And where our interests in all that, well, they'll hardly count for anything. So we're into huge uncertainty over this. This is really not, if you like, clarified a vast amount. It has clarified one particular issue. We don't know what's going to happen to the tariffs that might be erected now between ourselves and the EU. So the farmers are selling their produce. Are they going to face tariff barriers in getting their beef and getting their lamb into Europe? We haven't a clue about any of this. And I tell you what, it's likely to be bad.
Yes, but likely to be bad. The other way you could argue would be that if there's a boat raising what's in London and it's on a tide that's on the way up, that all boats will come up with it.
Well, you know, if you mean by that that somehow the UK is going to prosper because of being out of the EU, I mean, I think you'll only know that in about a decade now, because we're going to go, even if we do recover as an economy, there seems to be little doubt, if you can believe the economist says, we're going to go down before we go up, and we're already far down. So, yes, in due course, the UK could come back fighting and managing to establish new relationships with all these other countries around the world, and it may well do better in the long term. But it's certainly going to take a hit before it sees the sunny uplands.
And do you genuinely think there'll be a hard border?
Well, there's going to have to be some border. If you're going to control immigration, how do you do it? I mean, there are all those people who will continue to be able to, from the 27 countries, or 26 I suppose, flying into, without any difficulty, flying into the Republic. And what do you do to ensure they don't come across the border? Because there's no point in saying we control immigration if they can just fly into Dublin and get a bus up to Belfast.
So every bus, you reckon every bus coming from Dublin Airport will be stopped at Carrickarner?
Well, I've been in the past on a bus when people got on, individuals. I was quite surprised that it happened. And they came in checking people's papers. That was a number of years ago. So why would we see more of that? No one knows how it's going to develop this control of immigration. It could well be, and I think this is more likely, that it wouldn't be so much some form of barrier down there close to between Dundalk and Uri, but much more likely it's going to be at the ports. It's going to be so those individuals who actually won't really have any interest in coming to Northern Ireland as such, they're only using it as a way of as a springboard into Great Britain. So what's going to happen is these controls are going to happen at airports and ports where you will be checked. Excuse me, where are you from? You're from Belfast? That's fine. Go on ahead. Oh, you're from Lithuania? Oh, no, you can't come in here. You've no proper papers. You've no rights to be here. You go back. So you don't know the guy from Lithuania from the guy from Belfast unless you start checking everybody. So there's going to be checks.
Yeah, but when you say the checks are going to be at the ports, are you suggesting the checks are going to be at the ports in the Republic?
No, I mean that
because they can come into the Republic.
That's the point, yes. They will fly into the
Republic. If you're going to check them, then to stop them coming into Northern Ireland, you've got to have them at the border.
But ultimately, the ultimate destination for all those Poles and Lithuanians, will not be Ballymena and Buchna. They'll be heading to London. So they're using Northern Ireland as a way of getting into the country. So they just arrive here, but there's no real intent on their part to stay in Northern Ireland. So you really want, if you want to pick them up, you want to pick them up at Larne, at Belfast City Airport, Belfast International Airport. Those are the places where you'll want to check. Now, they could be on this side of the Irish Sea or they could be on the other side. But the handiest place to do it, because there only aren't a small number of jetting off points, would be to do it in Northern Ireland. You could, of course, do it when they land in London, when they land in Manchester, when they land in Birmingham. But look, you see the point, Liverpool. You see the number of checks you're going to have to do. The simplest thing is to have your people controlling those individuals who will possibly, conceivably, have no right to enter, in fact, almost certainly with no right to enter the UK. You stop them here in Northern Ireland.
Yeah, but if I was going to try and enter the UK coming from a country that didn't allow me to enter the UK, I wouldn't come to Belfast. I would come to Dublin and then, hump across the border when it's quiet.
Sorry, Frank, I think we're talking about, that's exactly what I mean. That's what's going to happen, yes. They fly to Dublin, but they fly to Dublin, Cork, anywhere. They get into the Republic.
Yeah, so at what point do we have a border to stop them? Surely at somewhere like Lifford or Carrickarnon or wherever.
We forget about the border at the border, if you know what I mean. There'll be impossible to stop. I don't know how many hundreds of miles the border between the Republic and Northern Ireland is, but it would be impossible.
So it's when they try to exit Belfast to go to London,
exactly,
that's when they'll be lifted.
Exactly, because whereas there are thousands of entry points across the Northern Ireland Republic border, there are very few exit entry points between Northern Ireland and the Great Britain. I mean, people are not going to get a rowing boat between Carnlough and Stranraer. They're going to leave through Belfast. They're going to leave through Larne. That's the way they're going to go.
But if that's the border in inverted commas, then what's the hassle? So as long as there's no hassle when you're driving across.
Because that's the whole thing. You have an internal border within the UK. It's anathema to unionists. Any form of internal border, which would be effectively what you're talking about. You have a check. You're allowing these people, de facto, you're allowing these people to come into Northern Ireland because you can't stop it. And the border then, the checks, are all between Northern Ireland and Great Britain. There's no other way to do it. You couldn't. I've, as you say, been following this closely. No one has explained to me how you can possibly control the flow of immigrants from the EU into the Republic, into Northern Ireland, but you can do it. You can't do it between Northern Ireland and Great Britain, and that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, so whereas we were thinking there was going to be a border between the Irish Republic and Northern Ireland, it's more a border between Northern Ireland and the rest of the UK.
It's going to be between Northern Ireland because you can control that. You can't control the border. There might be some guy in a uniform standing down there at Killeen, as he used to be in the past, stopping the occasional car. But that's not the way it's going to be, because the destination, also those goods, are going to be checked coming into...
Will that call for a hard border? The goods being checked?
So much of this is done through paperwork, through the internet, and I would doubt that is a huge issue, because to some extent, you can monitor and control this. But I wouldn't be so sure. I know just physically, with immigrants, that's the way to do it, the way I've outlined. I wouldn't be clear, because I have no expertise at all in that area, what you're going to do about... I think if you're taking in a container load of stuff into Dublin, and then the Dublin authority is going to ask you, excuse me, where's this going? And you're saying, well, actually, it's going to Scotland. You think, well, all right, okay. They might at that point, with cooperation between Dublin and London, say, sorry, you can't do it because you haven't got the proper papers for taking it into... And anyway, why were you trying to bypass Great Britain in the first place, going all the way round to come into Dublin? So they'd smell a rat. It's one thing to bring in container loads and to try and monitor and that might be more straightforward, you know, because in a way, you know, it might lend itself. I don't want to talk more about this because I don't know how you would organise that.
Sure, but all of this, but all of it is relevant in relation to what we should be looking out for over the next couple of years. With regards to one final question, with regards to the input from the likes of the Taoiseach and his think tank and getting people together, is that going to have any leverage, or is Theresa May off and running and no turning whatsoever?
Well, I raised this issue of us getting a wee deal through with the South, a cozying up to this and using the South and using, I'm talking about here in Northern Ireland, using our own good offices and the way we're regarded in Europe to try and argue for a special case for Northern Ireland and the Republic. And there may be some scope to do that because there is a degree of, if you like, indulgence towards us. But the idea of us getting a special deal, forget it. Everybody wants a special deal in Europe. Europe, is, when it was a smaller, more tightly knit group of countries, now 28 down to 27 when the UK leaves, now you're going to say we need a deal, and you have all these countries in the in Eastern Europe, and they're saying, sorry, we want a deal. We need a special deal. Excuse me, we're not as well off as Northern Ireland. We want some special arrangements. We want a situation where our we need a flow of people between here, Lithuania, and let's say Russia. And you know, we want to arrange a special, because there's so many people moving backwards and forwards across our borders. And they say, well, no. Well, then you're allowing special arrangements between the EU state, the Republic, and a non-EU state, the UK, and that part of it, Northern Ireland. So you're not having it. No, we're vetoing this. You see, it's not the way it used to be in the past, where France and Germany could between them agree things and just the others would fall into line. Now you've all these other states, and they're saying, sorry, you're going to give a special deal to Northern Ireland. These are special arrangements that only apply between this non-EU state and an EU member state, and they're only applied, we can't avail of them, we can't have them between ourselves and, say, Russia or Ukraine. And a lot of people have crossed our borders, and we have to have controls on them because they're not EU, they're not members of the, Ukraine is not a member of the EU. But you're going to allow the UK and the Republic to have a deal? I don't think so.